He was gonna say something too.
Trying to be tricky. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. And Cody, go.
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
and I am Cody.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Yeesh. Starting the music already. So, today we are finally going to do our assignment from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was it really 3 weeks ago?
I don't know.
Easily 3 weeks ago.
Not good at the time.
So we'll go into that first because we didn't have any other thing to. We didn't actually do any other
assignments. Hold on, we still got to guess your movie.
It is your number one, right?
No.
Oh,
it's number five.
Two? Is
no.
It, oh, that's right.
No, you said number I did five. Not say that.
You said it bumped.
It bumped.
You insinuated by the language that you used.
No, sir.
Yes. So you're purposely trying to be misdirected.
Well, he is saying that it bumped, so it still could be one through four.
I know, but the way
it bumped
he said
number
it,
five off, which is
the way he said it though.
It sounded
five
like
got
purposely
moved down
trying to be misleading.
Yeah.
Is it the Clone Wars?
I'm not gonna say yes or no. I'm not going to tell you until the list comes up.
All right, go. You missed your list.
Well, I want to go around, so five and then four.
I don't... See, I have a top five, but I can't... Why don't we do this? How about you list all of them? And then we'll talk about them. And then I'll list them. Whichever ones are different, we'll talk about. And then Joe lists them, and whichever ones are
different.
And
then there won't be any left because
there
I...
There will be.
Pretty much
well, yeah, because Stargate's on his list for sure.
It's not a war movie.
There's a war in it.
There's a
no,
battle.
There's not a war in it.
Pretty
there's
sure
a
war.
Battle, but there's no war.
There's a war.
There's no war. Have you seen the movie? Fuck
yeah,
you.
Several times. Several times. I guess I'll start with my number five.
Yes.
The Patriot.
That's a good
Gibson.
One.
Yeah.
Yep. Mel Gibson and the Heath Ledgers.
Yeah. Heath Ledger's not a child, but he's Mel Gibson's child.
Yes.
That's a line from the movie, Joe. That's the part I think about when I think about that movie.
Wait, they actually said Heath Ledger is not is.
No, he said, "I'm not a child." Mel Gibson said, "But you're my child."
Oh, okay.
He yelled it though. He yelled it in that angry Jew hating voice that he has.
Well, I was just wondering if like they said their actual names.
No.
Like, who's Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson?
Who are these people? We're not them. It's not us. So yeah, that was my number five. I love that movie a lot.
What's your number four? Is that the mystery one?
It is not the mystery one.
All right, number four is
Full Metal Jacket.
It that, almost made mine. Almost.
That's a good movie, man.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Super messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's I like it because it's like, almost, it's kind of like three movies in one. Like there's the boot camp part, which is super awesome, especially the ending of the boot camp part. There's
what's his name is fantastic in it. The drill sergeant.
Oh, Arlie Armey. Yeah.
He's great. He's great in everything. But that was his first like real movie.
That was
right?
His first movie. Yeah. Where and he had like a speaking role.
And then he started doing comedies, which was way better.
Saving Silverman.
Saving Silverman. You remember Frighteners too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the
dead drill sergeant in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I love Frighteners. Yeah, and then like you have the part where they're in they're over in the country in the country, but they're not like at war yet in that part, you know. And then of course there's the war part where it gets super fucked up. And Adam Baldwin's in it, my favorite Baldwin brother.
He's your favorite?
Yeah.
Alex, your favorite?
What?
Alex, your favorite?
Alec? No.
Alec or
Adam?
Adam.
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 Really?
Said. Adam, Alec, and then the rest of them.
Steve and Billy.
I would probably say Steven first because of Biodome.
Yeah, dude.
Well, what's the other one?
Backdraft, too.
Yeah, who was the one that was in...
Fled?
Who was the one... Which Baldwin brother was in Vampires with
the
James Wood? The
one nobody talks about.
Yeah, the one that still looks like a Baldwin.
Yeah.
Because he's a true Baldwin, unlike Adam, who's adopted. Or half Baldwin, something like that.
I don't know.
With James Woods, the vampire movie.
No, I know what movie. You're talking about John Carpenter's Vampires. I almost think that was Stephen Baldwin.
I think it was Stephen.
Stephen, that was the one, yes.
Yeah. Stephen's number five, for sure. He's
Stephen.
Way down there. And then there's that one Baldwin that's not really a Baldwin.
Adam.
No, because there's actual Baldwin brothers, but then there's another famous Baldwin person in the world.
Adam Baldwin.
Yeah, but isn't there an Adam in the brothers, too?
No. Oh. Adam is the Baldwin that's not actually a Baldwin.
But there's still five Baldwins, though.
There's brothers. A sister. The five
she looks weird, huh?
I don't even remember.
I've never actually seen her. No,
I saw her in South Park when they got blown up in the movie, because that's when Canada attacks. They blow up the Baldwins.
Aha.
Oh yeah,
except for Alec.
Oh, of course, you don't do that. You don't kill Alec.
Shadow knows. See, Full Metal Jacket. I love that movie. Super fucked up. I love the part with the sniper. It's dope.
Okay.
It's dope. Spoilers.
There's a sniper in it.
It's a sniper.
Sorry, the spoiler.
Spoiler about the sniper. It's a broad.
What?
How about you ruin it for everybody, Mike?
I did. I said spoilers.
You just ruined that movie I've seen.
All right, so mystery movie.
Mystery movie, which, for background, we've been trying to guess this movie for the last 20 minutes before we started recording.
So my number three. Mike's got this what is it face? So it stars Kirk Douglas, Martin Sheen.
Hot Shots?
Kirk Douglas.
Hot Shots Part 2?
Yes.
The Final Countdown.
I have not seen that. You're correct. What year did that come out? 1942?
Yeah, 1942. Oh, wait, no, 1980.
It's the final countdown.
Exactly. That's what it is. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it is about a battleship who goes through a time warp and ends up in Pearl Harbor the day before the attack with all their modern.
Oh, and they got all the modern. Yeah, dude. I remember. It's been forever, but I remember that one.
I love that movie.
I haven't seen it. Obviously, Mike has seen it, so somebody in this group has seen it. Besides you.
I spaced hard on it, though, dude. But, yeah, it's one of those movies, I know when you start explaining it, I start remembering it.
Yeah.
But you could have given me all night. I never would have guessed it.
No.
Love that movie.
It's pretty dope.
And they make reference to it in Battleship.
Do they?
Yeah.
The actual
the movie Battleship, based on the board game Battleship?
Hey, did that make anybody's top five?
No.
No, it got bumped off, not being on my top 10. I like that movie, but it's definitely not a war movie. But I mean, it's a fun movie to watch and be hilarious at. But they're when they see the battleship and they're like, oh, it's the, or you see the battleship and it's our final countdown. I was like,
they got it.
That's where they got it. So, I love that movie. Super Carrier. But, yep, super dope. On that one. And then number two is Fury. The newest.
I wanted to put that one on my list. I really did. It'd be definitely top 10.
Yeah, it's my top five. I love that movie.
I haven't seen it yet, so.
I rewatched it again because we were supposed to watch one of these movies, so I rewatched it.
That was your rewatch?
Yeah. I was like, nice. I can't find my copy of Final Countdown, so.
They make copies of that?
it's a movie, man.
Not on VHS?
I have it on DVD somewhere. I still know where it's at. I don't know if it's in there or in there or in the hallway or in my room or in the den. I don't know where it's at. It could be in a box in the closet. I have no idea. But I rewatched Fury just because it was on Apple TV and I could just go, oh, look, a war movie. And it's on my top five. So there you go. I love it. It's a fantastic movie.
It's one of the best movies or one of the movies I've seen some of the best performances in.
Yeah,
of some characters or actors that you wouldn't even expect. Everybody knows Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I would never have expect him to pull off that type of acting.
Joe hates that guy.
I think most people do.
He is Shia LaBeouf to Joe is like George Clooney is to Eric.
Oh,
Jude Law or no, Adrian Brody is to you.
Yeah,
and like Eggs.
I don't think
you
hate him that much.
I don't know. He's ruined some of my favorite movie franchises.
But you still watched him.
I still watched him.
And you watched Fury too, so.
Yeah, I gave it.
You
gave
watched
it a shot.
Predators.
We both gave him shots.
That's unfair though, because the Predator was in it. So It's like,
but I'm saying I actually liked Fury with him in
unlike,
it, and
unlike
with him know. In it, and he added to it. Like,
I think Mike just fell asleep. It goes down. Are you on your phone again?
Mike just had a rhythm, aneurysm.
He's like, I don't know where I put my phone. Is it on silent?
Yep. Look, Ma, no hands.
And my last favorite or top war movie is Saving Private Ryan.
Of course.
Was
that your number one?
Nope, not anymore. I just moved it. No, I don't. No, I don't think so.
I honestly, it's probably on all of ours. I know mine. So it's
a great movie.
Great movie.
So those are mine.
The reason, let's talk about Saving Private Ryan though, a little bit. One, ridiculous cast.
Yes.
Like, I don't think people realized it at the time, because a lot of them weren't the stars they are today, clearly. But even
that they are today, or even were from when they were, because like Ted Danson shows up in the movie at one point. You're just sitting there going, "That's fucking the boss," or "That's Ted Danson." What the hell?
So, I mean, just the main cast alone. So like the main group, you have Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, Vin Diesel, Edward Burns, Barry Pepper, Adam Goldberg, Jeremy Davies, who's the calligraphist guy, who you know, obviously ruins it for everybody. Edu Bonnie Ribisi, and of course Matt Damon. And then you have Ted Danson. You have Nathan Fillion shows up.
Oh, that's right.
You have there's another weird one that's in there too that shows up too. I don't see on this list. But yeah, there's a shit ton of people in it that, because Nathan Fillion's the actual is Private Ryan, but it's a different Private Ryan because he plays Private James Frederick.
Yeah, the one who that they encounter, they say all of his brothers are dead, and he's like, but they're 8 years old and they're living back in blah blah blah, and they're like, oh fuck, we got the wrong one.
Yeah,
and
Matt Damon is Private First Class James Francis Ryan, so it's still an F, but obviously a different F.
Yeah. The scene where Matt Damon is talking to Tom Hanks, telling him the story about his brother
in the barn.
Mm-hmm. Is fantastic. Like, that's one of the best scenes. Like, you could put that scene acting wise, and even Tom Hanks' performance is ridiculous because he doesn't say anything, but just his facial expressions and the fact that, like, he's listening, like you're listening the first time watching it, and the acting's so good, you're drawn into it, like you're listening to this guy tell you a real story. So Tom Hanks does good without any dialogue, and then Matt Damon knocks it out of the park with that huge dialogue that he has to do. It was really, really good.
And I'll say that's one of the movies where I actually cared that Vin Diesel died in it.
Other than Groot as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or he didn't Iron die. Giant.
What?
Or Iron Giant.
Or Iron Giant, yeah.
Which we still don't know if he died or not. But
that was like, you know, that whole scene where they're just pinned down by the
brutal, man.
One sniper, yeah.
Well, I remember the first time I watched it because I didn't see it in theaters. So I watched it like the week it came out on VHS at the time. And I'm not trying to be rude to you guys or make you hate me, but I want to say I was like 11.
I saw it in the theaters.
When the first time I saw it, fresh out the rented movie that we've previously talked about. So I was like 11, maybe 12, but I'm pretty sure I was 11. And I've seen a lot of rated R movies at that point. All the action movies, you know, all the Van Damme, all the Schwarzenegger movies. This was the first movie that I felt uncomfortable watching that first scene, because the death was like real in it. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like your standard action movie.
Oh, and they're getting picked apart.
Yeah. Like the opening of the movie was super intense, dude. Like I watched the rest of it later. Like, I remember, because, like, even my grandma was watching it with my grandma, who let me watch Commando and all those Schwarzenegger flicks. She was like, I don't even think you should be watching this. And she actually turned it off at one point, and I didn't argue with her. Like, that's how uncomfortable that opening scene made me. And when you watch it now, because the last time I watched it was a few months ago, I was like, man, this is super intense. Like, it is, because it's, I mean, like, it does enough to like make you care about characters in a short amount of time.
And a lot of characters.
You know, like, and then they just die.
What is the length of the movie? It's like
72 hours long.
But that's what it feels like.
Yeah, because you're getting kicked in the nuts the whole time.
It's one of those weird things.
It feels like it's 72 hours long.
It's probably like 2 hours long. The way they introduce all of the characters and stuff, it feels like a movie that could be like 70-something hours long because of, you know, you start to care for these people. But then it's over, and it flows just very nicely. And to go back to one of Cody's other points about how it starts off in one place and it's just a bunch of different, seemingly different movies at one point, because, you know, they're storming the beaches of Normandy, whichever one I don't exactly remember.
Storming Norman.
But then they're on, you know, then they're actually in the field and they're dealing with the bunker. That's their first encounter, and then they come across the different platoons that are mixed together as they still try and find him, and then they come across the city, the burned out city, where they finally do find him. So it is really like a bunch of different movies all together.
Yeah, and then like I said, for my money, Tom Hanks is a top five. It's
actually
time.
Almost 3 hours long.
Okay,
it's 169 minutes. Yeah,
but it doesn't feel like it.
Nope.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's your top five?
So this is going to be like a no particular order?
Yeah, kind of try to make it, though.
Oh, no, it will be. So I would have to say...
You had
like,
eight.
I know. I put down eight. And that's why I'm staring at this like right now, like trying to exactly remember. Because I had like We Were Soldiers on there.
So what you're saying is you didn't really do the assignment.
I did more than the assignment. I did
extra credit for
Mike's
this.
Three like, well, more. He made up for me because I had to.
No, I would say probably my number five. Looking at my list of eight is Red Dawn, the original one. Just a good classic war movie.
Ridiculous cast in that as well.
Number four is Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, that's so good too.
Yeah,
I didn't want to count that one though.
Why?
Because I know it's a war movie, and I know it takes place during a war, so it hits all the qualifiers. But to me, it's
not an action movie.
I felt like the war was very secondary in it, and that's what my own criteria, just to kind of help myself chisel down my list. I kind of eliminated that one for myself, but I totally get it. Like it's an awesome movie.
Well, and I get what you're saying because I wanted to kind of. There's another movie that Robin Williams did that I don't think gets a lot of...
Jacob the Liar,
exactly. Yeah. I wanted to put that one on there.
It's fantastic.
It is a fantastic movie. It's not very high up on a lot of people's list of Robin Williams movies, but it's just the story is awesome. And his acting, because I don't remember when it came out within his filmography, but I want to say it is like one of the earliest, more serious movies that he did.
Well, I mean, it was after it was after the De Niro movie, and
so it was right
like
there at the beginning.
He had done serious before,
okay,
and done it really good, but he hadn't done a lot though.
Yeah,
so
it was right there. I loved it. I wanted to include it because to be honest, we're gonna go through a lot of these movies. They're gonna be, you know, blood, guts, gore, stuff like that. I wanted to also include stuff that'd be more comedy, so that's why I threw in Good Morning Vietnam. I kind of wanted to do Jacob the Liar. It was a little bit more uplifting type of story, but I didn't, just because it was more, the war was more secondary in that movie, I would say, than this one. You agree? Yeah.
Yeah.
So my number three, because that was four, three would be Generation Kill then. Not so much a movie.
You went away from the rules! It's a miniseries.
Yeah, but we didn't. We said the Pacific or.
It's also a miniseries.
No. We didn't say miniseries. We didn't say miniseries.
But
we said the
Pacific and Brander Brothers is a miniseries.
There's a difference between insinuation and then actually saying it.
Oh, Jesus.
So, fuck you both. I included it.
All right.
That doesn't count. So he has four.
Yeah. You have four. It's a good thing you picked extra movies.
Yeah, because that doesn't count. Because it's not a war movie.
We said Band of Brothers and The Pacific. Are we leaving those
out?
You
said
no.
War movies, and you said those don't count because they're miniseries.
No, I said that we were not including The Pacific or Band of Brothers.
So you cannot use Generation Kill. That
I feel
is the
like
rule.
I've been bamboozled.
Yes, you can't use Generation Kill. That's off your list.
It's a big word for you.
I love Generation Kill. Don't get me wrong. I own a DVD copy and a Blu-ray copy, but you can't use it because it's a miniseries.
First episode of Generation Kill.
No! It cannot be in your list because it's not a war movie. Singular war movie. Cannot be a series. Limited or not.
We did not say that, but okay.
Yes, that's what we insinuate.
Amend your list, sir.
I will secede it to you.
Yeah. You will,
even though I will say that we didn't say series, we said we're not including The Pacific or Band of Brothers.
I said we're not including them because they're miniseries.
Yes.
I didn't hear that.
Exactly, because you don't really listen to the show. That's
no,
fine.
No, because I don't talk to Mike.
It's off your list.
Either way.
Fine. Then we'll move Black Hawk Down into that spot. You okay with that?
I'm okay with that because that's a movie.
You okay with that?
Yes.
Mike? You too?
It's a war.
I don't
movie.
Like your attitude right now, but yeah, I'm okay with that movie.
I don't like your attitude right now.
Breaking my own goddamn rules. Go ahead.
Breaking rules that we didn't set down.
Josh
or,
Hartnett.
Sorry, that we implied.
Josh Hartnett's best movie?
One of them.
One of his best.
What is the other ones?
Looking for Slevin, I love a lot.
I like that one. I don't think it's better.
I think it's better.
There's something else I'm trying to remember he did.
Sin City. I don't count that, though.
He was like, this much and then this much. He kills the bro in the beginning, and he's about to kill the bro at the end. It's like, there you go. Ipso facto, not really in it.
Kind of another movie, too, where you have a lot of actors in it.
A fuck ton of actors in that, yeah. too. Ewan McGregor is fucking amazing in that movie. Yeah. All he wants to do is make that fucking coffee.
Yeah.
He's got shrapnel in him, making coffee. Tom Sizemore is fucking beastly in that movie, too.
Sizemore is crazy.
And literally, actually, in real life, crazy.
Yeah.
But in that
so the, yeah, they just awesome. Keep putting him in crazy people roles.
Yeah.
He's basically, he's the more sane Gary Busey.
Yeah.
I know it's hard
to
say.
Like, if Busey didn't have the motorcycle accident.
Yeah. That's where he'd be.
Like, if Sizemore had a motorcycle accident,
he would be,
he'd be Busey.
Yeah. He'd be a brunette Busey,
we'd have
for sure.
Two Buseys.
Do you think he'd have to get the weird teeth, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
He also does Amazon TV commercials.
Speaking of which, the greatest commercials ever.
Is the seashell one?
I have one thing. In one hand is a revolutionary TV device. The other
is a seashell. He opens the hand.
Whoa! Oh, no. You can't even plug a seashell in your TV. And that laugh? Fucking ridiculous.
So good. He needs to make more commercials. I want him to endorse everything.
When Amazon announced the you could do the voice thing and talk into the remote, and he's trying to talk into other stuff.
Hi, Gary Busey.
Lamp.
You can't talk to a lamp.
You can't talk to a lamp. I'm crazy as balls.
If you ever get a chance, I stumble upon some YouTube clips of him on like Celebrity Apprentice, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's crazy in
dude,
that one.
Those
yeah.
are so fantastic.
Because every episode, you wouldn't have to watch it because you just watch the soup at the end of the week and you just see all the clips.
Yeah.
He's just playing
well,
crazy.
I found it on, I was watching something on YouTube and I fell into that hole, and then I got to Gary Busey stuff and it was the best. I was like, this is the best
way
to waste
hours. Watch
that
crazy go.
He's not in Black Hawk Down, by the way.
But Tom Sizemore is.
But Tom Sizemore is. Number two on my list is Battle Los Angeles, not to be confused with Battlefield Los Angeles. Battle Los Angeles with Aaron Eckhart and
yeah. But the one's Battle
that
for
movie's
Los Angeles.
Intense.
Oh, Battle for Los Angeles is the other one. That movie, that's the movie that I watched.
I like that movie.
It combines like you know the sci-fi alien thing that I really love, and it grounds it in more of a real life, so like a Star Trek type of thing. But what would happen if the United States, because you've seen like Independence Day, and most of that took place in the sky with fighter jets and stuff when they're actually fighting. This takes place obviously on ground, and so you get to see more guttural. It's more like a Black Hawk Down meets Independence Day type of thing.
Now you say that, though, it's almost like Independence Day 0.5 in a way.
Right.
If you think about it, because it's like
It's like a different side of the same attack.
Yeah. Like you see in Independence Day, the most you see is the jets fighting. This one you see the ground soldiers. So you can just imagine you see like the jets up here fighting the ships.
Yeah.
Obviously. Super intense too. Oh. When you're watching it, you're white knuckled the whole time.
The backyard scene, bro. With the pool.
Oh yeah. Where that thing just comes out of the pool.
You're just like, and you hear noises and they're looking around and they're fucking tense as shit. You're just like, and all of a sudden, just boosh right out of the pool. And you're like, and then it's like, they're all of a sudden, they're surrounded, so they're shooting. Oh, dude, it's fucking nuts. I want to watch that now. Leave, guys. I'm watching Battle Los Angeles.
But then it just makes Aaron Eckhart's character out to be such a fucking badass.
Yeah,
in that movie.
At the end, though, when they're like, God. We're going back in.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all just grab some food real quick and go back at it.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. More shit. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I got a hangnail, guys.
Yeah,
I'm out.
I'm not going to lie. I totally would have been the guy. No, there's food here.
Yeah.
Coffee.
They said I could take a shower.
Give me like 5 minutes.
We've been here doing this for like a day.
And me
like
running
a
away.
Full day. We're
gonna
done for a little.
Yeah, the most intense full day ever.
Yeah.
And dude, when that one,
it was the first movie I watched, and I felt like I watched a video game, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was
the video game
that
came out,
kinda
sucked balls.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
I didn't even know they made a video.
Yeah,
game.
They did.
It's awful, dude. Like you couldn't look up and down.
No.
It was almost like a on a rail shooter, but you could only look left.
Well, it's
and
like
right.
if Halo was set on Earth, you know, with
more modern technology.
We put it.
And
I
stuff.
Think, well, yeah. you even played Killzone.
Okay, yeah.
It's more like Killzone. It's more like Killzone is in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other part too, I just thought about too, is the bridge scene where they have the bus.
Oh,
and they have
yeah.
a gun mounted on the roof, and then they all of a sudden that weird thing with the that's being controlled
that light,
by
yeah,
another
that,
one.
That turret, that
and
that
it's like,
walking turret.
Dude, and then when it fires, that gun is like, boom, and it just bullets. Oh, and that guy gets fucking liquefied. I was like, that's so dope and terrifying. I would have given up. I'd have been rolled
that's,
under that
that's
bus.
That's another one, too, where they did a great job getting you to care about the characters. Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't really a character-driven movie.
No,
like,
not at all.
Whatsoever. But they did a good enough job to where, like, because you're focused on one small group the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time if people start passing away, you start feeling bad about it, so...
And that was, you say, it just focused on the group. That was another great thing about it is that they didn't know what the fuck was going on because half the time they were out of communication. So, you know, they went into that police station to get those people, get fucking annihilated. Those helicopters going up, just getting hit by
by the way.
And then just follows them all the way because they're like, we're going to get to the safety. We're going to get to the airfield. And they get to the airfield and it's fucking wasted.
Decimated.
And they're like, well, where do we go now?
And a little side note to that, I'm going to say that trailer... was one of the best trailers ever.
Oh, it sold me on going to see it for sure.
And I didn't know anything. It really didn't tell you anything.
Yeah.
But just that slow, creepy music
it's one of the only trailers I can think of that played like the movie did without giving anything away. It's not one of those movies that like shows you the
whoever,
base movie.
Whoever won editing a movie, we talked about this, is hugely important. But whoever chopped together that trailer, fantastic.
Needs a goddamn Oscar.
Yeah.
Way to
there,
fucking
well,
go.
There needs to
just
be
a guy, for, like just a guy named.
There
Oscar
needs to be some type of, and I'm sure there is within the like that group of people. There's got to be something, but like stuff like that should get touted more often. Because look how many times there's bad trailers.
Planet of the Apes jumps to mind because the trailer makes the movie look completely different.
Yeah, but like you didn't watch the first one for the longest time. I watched it. I liked it, and then the second one. I didn't watch because of the trailer. I was like, it feels like
the second one did the same thing, yeah.
And then you watch the second one, you're like, no, it's really good. It's like,
yeah, fantastic movie.
Trailers, man. Make it do better.
Yeah. But so there was that. And then my number one is Saving Private Ryan.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah. Michael?
Mike.
Oh, what day is it? Hump day.
Because it's actually Wednesday.
It is actually Wednesday.
Okay. I did 6.
Oh, another overachiever.
Well, number 5 is super interchangeable, and I can't decide.
So, number 5, and number 6 is Generation Kill.
All right, so in number 5, you can either put, for me, Heartbreak Ridge or The Dirty Dozen. Dirty Dozen I love simply for the fact that I think... that one's more of a nostalgia pick for me, too, because I remember watching that one with my granddad, and he never really watched movies with us, so that was kind of a cool thing. But it's like I've seen it as an adult too, and I still liked it.
It's a tough. I'm trying to think of which one I like more.
And then Heartbreak Ridge, I got on there again. I wasn't gonna put Heartbreak Ridge on there because I know they went to battle, but it really didn't feel like it was a war movie.
Yeah, but it took place in war. Like there was a war. Yeah. Going on. And then they were in a battle.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, the battle was like the only little taste of it that you got. And I think the best parts of the movie were the other parts. You know, like them finally all getting together. You finding out Clint Eastwood is really not an awful guy. His ex-wife or estranged wife. I mean, everything. I mean, it's Clint Eastwood at his old school best with the good one-liners. And he's a super, super BA.
Yeah.
You know? So I really like that one a lot. And it's easily Mario Van Peebles' third or fourth best work ever. So that's number five. You could pick. Dirty Dozen, and talking about it more, the cast.
There was a... A lot of good people in that
movie. Lot of good people. The ideal was really, really cool of it, too.
I think I like that movie more. Really? I honestly do, just because of the idea behind it, yeah.
Which I'm thinking about. Why have they never remade that, did they?
Like,
that's got to be the next remake, right?
TV one, wasn't there?
I want to say it's got to be the next, like, big movie remake. Like, they got to...
Keep talking, I'm looking it up.
They're going to at some point, right?
I'm trying to think. I don't think there was never really a direct... remake of it, but you can see that in a lot of other movies that, or at least that idea behind the Dirty Dozen. Inglourious Bastards comes to mind.
Inglourious Bastards kind of could have been it if it didn't take the Tarantino route.
But the idea is that you get a lot of like mismatched guys together.
Because like Dirty Dozen, it was all like, okay, we just need people we don't care about. Like I said earlier, it's kind of like the precursor to the Expendables.
Yeah.
You know, it's all taking place during a war. They're put together for a particular, and the only reason they're put together is because they are expendable. They don't care if they die or not.
Yeah.
And then Lee Marvin is super, you know, crazy legit. So
Battlefield Bad Company comes together.
It was a TV movie. It's called The Dirty Dozen Next Mission. Yeah, it was like a pseudo sequel, but it was more of a remake than
Like big movie. We might have to recast that one of these days on a podcast because I think that could be fun. I have to go back and watch it again though. It's been a couple years.
It makes me think. I need another Battlefield Bad Company game because that was just a fun ass game.
That's
because
not
that
happened.
Yeah, but I mean, it was in the same essence of it. You know, it was called
sure.
B Company. They're a bad company that you just put all the mismatched, you know, horrible people there, and you just sent them on missions where you didn't really care if they came back. I need that. We need that sequel. Next one?
Need that in our lives. Number four will be.
Generation Kill.
The Patriot. I'm going to do The Patriot.
The Patriot? Like Mel Gibson, The Patriot?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Steven Seagal.
No.
The War for Oil. Isn't that the one that was in Alaska,
so,
right?
No.
Right. Wasn't that the one in Alaska?
No, I think there wasn't that Hard,
no,
hard
that
to
was,
Kill.
No, Alaska kill was New York. Something,
it's a city one,
something ground.
On Deadly Ground?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Alaska one. What was
the only thing I remember from that movie is Under Siege 2.
Dark Territory.
No, the only one I remember from that one is, there's an exploding refinery and he's like running from it.
Yeah.
And then there's the bar fight scene between him and, I think, an Eskimo or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Him and a polar bear getting a fight. Anyway, we talked about The Patriot a little bit. Heath Ledger is an amazing actor. Mel Gibson when he's not.
Tomahawks are thrown. People are killed.
You know? Dude, yeah, when he. Fucking massacres those dudes in the riverbed.
The
in the creek.
The mace scene, right? The thing with the stick with the chain and the big spiky
ball. Oh, the ball and chain?
Yeah. That thing when he rams that. Ugh.
Oh.
Right in the face, dude. You just. Plop.
No, just
you can
the.
Hear a blood splat.
Yeah, but the part when he fucking massacres those five dudes in the riverbed.
After killed his family, right?
Yeah, well, no, they take his kids.
They take his kids, yeah.
And then his kids, like, he brings his kids with him. Or they take Heath Ledger.
Yeah. and his, and then, some of his kids, like, that's just his kid, heartbreaking. He brings his two kids scene.
With him, his two other sons with him.
Oh yeah, he tells the one son goes up. Yeah,
yeah, and they're just like almost crying because they're sitting there fucking just shooting people.
Oh dude, it's fucking brutal. And then he fucking tomahawks that guy trying to run away.
And his face afterwards, like after he gets done, he's got that crazy
blood all over. But
trying to calm down, you know. Oh, so good. So yeah, that'd be number four, right?
Sure.
That's number four. Number three, I'm going to say Inglourious Basterds.
Very good movie. Very good.
Because I think that's one of Brad Pitt's better pieces, especially recently.
Burn After Reading.
Burn After Reading's good, but you think that's a Schwinn.
fantastic. Good.
Yep. But everyone here and everyone listening is probably seeing Glorious Bastards, so we don't really have to go deep into that one. But super good, and they actually get Hitler. Spoilers at the end.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Which, like, I remember watching it. I didn't read anything about it, so I went in spoiler free. I was like, are they gonna get him? Like,
yeah, they are.
Like, I don't know if they're gonna get him.
Like, are they gonna be historically accurate or just like, yeah?
And then I didn't realize this until recently, and I text you guys, is Tarantino got the end of, this is pure speculation, got the end of Inglourious Basterds from Gremlins.
That's right.
I had no idea. It took, like, I'd rewatched Gremlins recently for the first time in years and years and years. And I was like,
terrifying the movie was?
Oh, they said a theater that of them kids movie? On yeah. file. Yeah, it was so I was like, that's what Tarantino did to all the Nazis. It was pretty cool.
Have you ever heard that that all of Tarantino's movies exist in the same world?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah.
What would you call that, the Tarantino-verse?
Yeah. Just like you have the Miller-verse, this would be the Tarantino-verse.
Oh, what a fucked up universe that would be.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it ends.
No good people.
Ugh. Well, I want to see how Hateful Eight works into it.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see that. Because I love Western movies, and anytime you could make a Western movie today. I
sent in $5 with a letter that said, please make the first 5 minutes Channing Tatum's death. And just let us know when the movie starts off. It's actually
I am absolutely willing to give Channing Tatum. Like you saw Foxcatcher, right?
Yeah.
And you said it was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Foxcatcher was creepy. I still haven't seen it yet. I've seen the previews for it, and it looks like he actually does really well in it. I'm waiting for
Jupiter
Ascending, which is February 6th.
Did you see the new trailer?
Yes.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it too. Yeah. I was like, the first teaser trailer I saw, mm-hmm. I was like, nope. Then I saw the second trailer, I was like, oh my god, I want to see this a lot.
You realize the first time we saw that trailer was like over a year ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not done. We promise there's more to it.
Yeah.
Shit.
But speaking of too, Channing Tatum, I'm not a huge fan, but he's been in enough movies where I'm like, he's 50-50 in my book. Like, I'm not going to not watch a movie because he's in it, but he's not going to make me want to go watch a movie I'm on the fence about.
Yeah.
And you guys never watched. I haven't seen the second one because it looks awful. But I watched the first 21 Jump Street, and it was funny.
I'm not gonna watch it. But I do want to ask you about Foxcatcher because I know we didn't go over before. Steve Carell's in the movie.
Yes.
How was he in that?
Amazing.
Really?
Yeah, he's gonna get nominated. I don't think he'll win.
Yeah.
Didn't they already put the nominations up
for Golden Globes?
Yeah.
But I don't think for the Oscars yet.
I haven't seen Oscars.
He's gonna get nominated for Best Actor. Channing Tatum might get nominated for Best
Supporting. Speaking of Steve Carell, he joined that Brad Pitt, Christian Bale, Ryan Gosling movie, The Big Shot.
Jesus.
Or The Big Short.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That cast is fucking...
growing?
Getting huge.
Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling were pretty funny together in that chick flick. With Emma...
Emma Stone?
Stone, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch that because it's got adultery in it.
Kevin Bacon's in it, too. I watched it reluctantly.
Sold. Kevin Bacon.
I watched it reluctantly, and then I liked it. I was like, okay.
You said enough. Kevin Bacon. I'm sold.
What's the name of it?
I can't think of it either.
Yeah. Cody.
Date Night?
It's the one.
No, it's not Date Night.
I fucking love Date Night.
Date Night's fantastic.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Just why does he not have a shirt on? Why doesn't he have a shirt on?
Will you please, for the love of God.
Put a shirt on. There's fucking rumblings of this goddamn Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover again.
See, I don't.
Why?
I'm not. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Plus, you're going to have to.
Men in 21 Jump Street.
You're going to hugely change one of the genres. Because one is crazy rated R, and the other one's meant for family. So you're going to really have 21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street was rated R?
Yes.
Dude. I didn't realize that. Of course, I didn't.
You couldn't
really
tell from watching the previews for the first one. You could probably tell by watching the previews for the second one it's rated R. Because I watched the first one. I thought it was funny. The second one from the trailers looked like they amped it up 400 times. You know?
I just suppose I never listened to the rating on it, so I just assumed it was like PG-13.
No.
Oh.
It's rated R.
That's interesting.
I can't think of that movie with Ryan. Are you looking it up?
I will look it up.
You've been on the computer the whole time. I thought
I'm
you were looking
at other
up.
Stuff.
No.
Fact check, bro.
I got it.
What's your next one? Or your final one? Saving Private Ryan?
No, I got two more.
Saving Private Ryan? I think you said the number one.
No.
Wasn't that two?
That was number three.
Don't yell at me. Don't yell at me. I'm sorry. I pulled a Joe.
That was three.
Generation Kill?
Number two, because I'm just going to say number one was Saving Private Ryan for the reasons we went over. But number two, so kind of the number one in this countdown.
It's Quentin Tarantino the fuck out of us with that.
Yeah.
Lone Survivor.
Yeah. I wanted to
simply
include it.
Simply for the fact that it is so intense. The entire once the action starts, it does not stop.
Nope.
Not once during the movie. It gives you a little bit of time towards the end to breathe for a second, and then it's like, nope, here we go again, and it goes right back into it. And the cast was good. I like everyone in the cast. Mark Wahlberg is actually the person I like the least. but
it's still a really good performance
from him. No, he's great
in
it. Yeah, he's great in it.
Crazy Stupid Love.
I never would have guessed. I thought it was like Rules of Something.
You're so gay.
Yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, Lone Survivor would be number two.
Saving Private Ryan number one. Like it's literally number eight on the list of eight movies that I had come up with. And I really wanted to include
Ben Foster. I'm a big Ben Foster fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was fantastic in the movie too.
But it's so fucking depressing.
Yeah.
Like it's depressing to think about right now, especially because it is based off of the you know it's...
You know, and I knew the story somewhat. But like I was fairly familiar with the story. And then spoilers, if anybody's listening and hasn't seen it, it's called Lone Survivor for a reason. So
all of them live.
Yeah. But the first time he not towards the end, but like in the third act, and the support comes and I didn't know, like I thought, okay, this is how he gets out of there, and then they shoot it down. You're like, oh, because I didn't know like those people died too. I knew all of his group died. When I saw that in, I was like, oh, finally he's gonna get out of there. I mean,
yeah,
that sucks. And then they shoot that down.
Nope. Then there's another 25 minutes of him getting his fucking ass handed to him.
Dude, and the scene where they
fall down the mountain, falling.
It was
like
an episode of The Simpsons when Homer keeps falling down the hill and the hill never stops.
Doing the fucking rifle butt hits him in the face.
And they do it again because, well, it's the only option
to
do.
The only way away, yeah.
I think the second one's worse because it's less. The first one, they start to slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they start tumbling because it's not very smooth anymore. But the second one, you look down. They look down.
It was
like,
almost like a sheer cliff.
I was like,
it was like,
nope. I'm gonna hold on for me. Get my rope out real quick. I'm gonna
time out, guys.
Hey, wait. I'm gonna let me ease myself down. Yeah, no, there's no fucking way. Not
this,
to interrupt
the scene, the controversial scene in that movie as well, where they make the decision to just tie up the people. It was let them go.
Yeah.
Or kill him. Like, I completely see what's his name? I don't remember who. Tyler Hitch's character was going with that. Like, you just can't do that. But at the same time, every decision's wrong. Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, you're obviously going to give away your position. Like, you're fucked. And you know, you're
and that one kid had hate in his eyes too, dude.
Yeah.
The other two. You could have probably gotten away with that one, but that kid was just the teenager kid. He was getting there in a hurry.
And even though what had happened, ultimately, I do believe it was like the right decision to make. I mean, you don't, you know, it wasn't a combatant. It wasn't but it is. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's our survival or their survival. And I'm like,
it's like, oh my God, it made me think. Stop that movies.
I'm like, if it was, I mean, I can't say if it was me in that position because there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
I would just be like, I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't be there anyways.
You'd be like, how did I get here?
I'm like, why am I here? Because I don't know these things. But like, the three options.
Just the thought of like Cody and like the army jumpsuit yeah. and the full fatigues and the.
I would be the asshole in a fucking rocky forest like that wearing a ghillie suit.
You got the glasses and the beard just suddenly coming out, and he's like, where the fuck am I?
Why don't these fucking radios work?
Why was David Bowie there?
So. Okay, Spiders and Mars. The three choices they have: let them go, and retreat and try to get picked up, tie them up, and either try to complete your mission or retreat, or kill them, do your mission, and then that's it. Obviously, none of those are good choices.
No,
but I would have gone with B. Tie them up, let them almost see if they'll survive. You know, whatever.
But the problem with that one is that at the point that somebody goes, "Hey, where's this kid? You know, where's this old man?" Then they start sending out search parties.
Yeah, but that gives you.
And they know the idea of probably where they, because I'm sure that they go around this route.
Oh, I'm sure
regularly.
But that would give you enough time to get away, more of a time to get away.
If you tie him up and leave, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But.
Because at that point, to me, it's more of...
But hey, also, if I recall right, they were in radio blackout at that point, weren't they?
That's why they had to go up the hill and try to get radio. Yeah. But so what I'm saying is, if you tie them up...
So there was no guarantee of rescue. There wasn't.
But there'd be more of a chance waiting for a better signal than when they go out there and
get gunshot. That's also just assuming that it's going to be like an hour before somebody realizes that, you know, the goat kid... And
what
the,
I'm saying, though, is my choice would be give me more choice. Of a, yeah. lance, a yeah. chance to survive other than... Let that little fucking parkour motherfucker run down that hill like his pants are on fire, and yeah. just let him know, like, oh, there he is, and you know they're up the hill.
Yeah,
let's go kill him. And then 9,000 dudes come out with more weapons than you can ever imagine, and just shit goes fucking sideways.
Yeah,
it is some of the most intense action sequences you're ever gonna see in a movie,
and
tremendous sound quality too.
As you know, because the movie was really good, and I really do want to see the new one, American Sniper. But I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot like that, where it's going to be a phenomenal performance by Bradley Cooper.
But so intense, it's almost so uncomfortable.
Have you seen the new commercials for it, new trailers for it? Yeah, where he's in the... He's talking to his wife, and then suddenly just shit goes down.
He blows up.
Well, it's like... Lone Survivor is like that, where... Excuse me. Where after you get done watching the movie, you're like... You feel tired. Like
exactly.
You feel mentally and almost at a point physically exhausted.
Yeah.
Just from watching a movie, which sounds dumb, but it does that to you. And then there's other movies, like most recently there's a... what was that one with Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman? Prisoners, right?
Oh, Prisoners, yeah.
Like a year ago. That was a really good movie. But again, so sad and depressing where you feel like you've just been kicked in the stomach for the whole 2 hours you've been watching it.
Yeah.
You get out of it. And I really want to see American Sniper, but I have a feeling it's going to be
exactly
just like
the same
that.
Thing. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
With a way worse ending.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we know
yeah.
what the ending is.
Exactly.
Damn. Unless they, Glorious Bastards it and get Hitler at the end.
He's going to shoot Hitler. Hitler at the yeah. end?
He's going to get Hitler at the end.
Fuck yeah!
They're
gonna
do American
Sniper. He's gonna shoot
slash
opposite. He's gonna shoot opposite the spin of the Earth, and it's gonna go so fast it travels through time. He's gonna Superman that shit and hit Hitler.
But what he does, he aims for the moon's trajectory, so he uses the moon's gravity to boomerang the bullet back around. By the time it travels back, because of the way the Earth spins, he'll be able to just take Hitler out right as he's like, "Hey, Ava," boom.
Yeah.
But he's gonna do it where. He's going to aim it so well that it's going to be before Hitler starts the actual war, and he's about to tell him what his plan was, and then what happens is they shoot him, and all they see is the plans for the Mercedes-Benz, and they're like, oh, I guess we're going to make Volkswagens and Mercedes-Benz. Thanks, Hitler, for dying for this.
And then he goes down as a hero. Yep. What kind of twisted world would that be?
Be weird.
But see, we wouldn't know any difference.
And then somebody finds his art, and they're like, oh, he's a great artist, too, and we herald... That's weird, man. That alternate reality is crazy.
And because his plan for the Nazi regime was only in his head, never written down, as they think it was.
But Bradley Cooper is the only one who knows the truth.
Yep. Yeah.
And he has to deal with
the Because he's the only
world.
Person out of time, because he was the one that made the bullet.
Yeah.
And the bullet, the timeline riffs where he shot it from, so he's stuck in that knowing exactly what he did. And he can't tell him, because then he's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he, like, goes down as huge hero. Hitler does, and he has to live with that. And he goes so crazy, kills himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. After chopping off his ear and sending it to somebody.
Sad ending again. It's inevitable.
God
sad
damn
endings
it. I
are
thought we were trying
endings.
To get rid of the sad
I know,
ending.
But what happened?
Mike just brought it back. Jesus.
What, that's what happens, though.
Yep. So after you know, saving Germany from being, you know, history's worst enemies, he brings them to the forefront in the most powerful country ever. Boom. Yeah. So that was number two, right, Mike?
Yeah.
At yep. number one?
Wow.
Saving Private
Ryan.
So that's our list, fellas.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly depressed.
I want to watch Battle Los Angeles.
Right?
And not Stealth. I just saw it up there. I was like, shit. It's on the shelf. I got to hide that better.
That's such a different movie than what we've been talking about, where you finish that movie and you're like, yeah. You're like amped up. You're like, oh, yeah. Go America. Fuck yeah.
You know what? Think about that. It is one of the best endings of those movies that we thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though everyone dies of one person, but it's still...
No, more no.
Oh,
there's
no,
only
no,
like
yeah.
two people
most
die
of
at
this,
the end.
Yeah, because the... Well,
no, only the one guy
the
does.
Family, the family of the actual soldiers, I want to say, I think two of them die on the bridge. Because you have the one that gets shot up.
Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah, on the bridge. Where the bridge, or the freeway...
Well, I'm talking the ending, because the ending is where they go to get the radio tower, and the only guy that dies there is the dude that's holding the
because he's radioing back to
he's using the little laser thingamajigger. Yeah.
No, he had to radio to say that they wanted they're trying Aaron Eckhart's character was the one that had
that's what it was
that had the laser, but what I was saying is. I love the scene where they figure out that they're tracking down the radio signals, and he decides to go to that gas station all by himself. Clint Eastwood's it, and he tapes that or not tapes but rubber bands that rock to the radio, and then fucking blows up the gas station to take out one of the alien jets. Oh, it's fucking awesome. Yeah.
That's got a really good beach scene on it, too, when they just fucking start walking up and start shooting through people in the newscast.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking brutal, because you realize there's just families at the fucking beach.
But that's why I was like, that's what I was saying earlier. That's why another thing that I liked about that movie is that it literally did just follow, it really just followed Aaron Eckhart, but, his squad of guys. You didn't know shit about what
you
was going on.
You get a little bit of background story on them.
Yeah, the aliens, you kind of, you know, they see a TV broadcast that the aliens might be there for their resources, but they're not 100% sure, which they kind of do. They show, like, them sucking up water at one point. But you don't, I mean, they didn't need to explain anything. They literally didn't need to explain anything of that. Just aliens came down, they're trying to fuck up shit, and this is us trying to fight back. And then it just follows those guys through everywhere, you know, thinking that they're about to be saved, and then they're not. And then they finally do get saved. And fucking Aaron Eckhart's character, not trying to be the hero, but just trying to be the, you know, the guy...
that doesn't get his team killed?
Yeah. You know, sees the blackout, and then goes in after the head alien communications control ship. Awesome.
Good movie. Mm-hmm. It's all good movies.
Yeah. So that's it for this assignment.
Yeah.
Think of something else, or no, or
yeah, maybe not.
I was thinking.
All right.
What do you got?
On my almost 2-hour drive here from Tempe, fucking traffic.
That's weird. I didn't know Tempe moved further away.
It did.
You can get to Disneyland faster than you can to Tempe, or from Tempe when
traffic is bad.
Bad.
Almost a quarter of the way through the Da Vinci Code, which I started right when I left.
Audiobook, not the movie.
Well, audiobook there, yeah.
You
was watching
the movie.
Yeah, I was about to say, you would have been done with the movie. Started Angels and Demons.
No, I was reading the book on the way here. That also might have been why it was, you know, backed up. Anyway.
Hold on, I'm trying to finish this chapter. Quit honking.
I was thinking favorite ologies.
I love olives.
So ologies, not ologies.
Did we do that though?
Did we do it?
Favorite
anthologies. So not just like trilogies, anthologies.
Anything past two,
ologies.
Right?
Yeah, anything past two.
I think we did.
Did we do it?
I'm gonna say we did.
I do kind of actually remember something way back now that you mention it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Okay.
Do you get any ideas, Cody?
No. I'll think about it while we're doing this. Yeah. We're almost finished, but let's go over some news real quick. Couple things since last time we recorded. New Avengers trailer.
Yep.
Dope.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Another sizzle reel. Obviously, it's a teaser trailer again. We still don't have a full story. But god damn it was a great, great little like.
You see an expansion of the Hulkbuster versus the Hulk.
You get a little bit more fight. That
so
slam.
So that you know fucking... that there's going to be more than just them staring at each other.
Yep,
which is awesome.
It's gonna be a dope fight, yo.
Thor looks fucked up at one point, which I was trying to think. Does he get that bad in any of his movies? Like he looked fucked up.
Well, he got his hand cut off in the second one.
Yeah, I guess that's
sort of.
But I mean, he was scarred up pretty well in this one.
Talking about when he comes out of the water.
In this one, no, it was the confrontation with Tony. Like they show him just like
completely, he's all beat up. He's all like beat it looks up like it happens after like something siphons the lightning out of him.
Yeah, and he's just scratched. He's just like bleeding all over his face and stuff. I'm like that's pretty bad.
Well, actually, the picture starts right there. So super dope. Again, it's a teaser trailer, so we don't really know much, but. There's a lot of rumors going around online about things that happened in that teaser trailer, plus things that people have posted previously to that, which is ridiculous. The fact we may actually meet Black Panther in this movie before.
Oh, really?
Civil War.
Nice.
Well, so he won't. But
you think that would be like in the movie, or is that going to be like the ending scene?
No, like he's the so in the reason this comes up is in the new sizzle reel teaser. There's a cavern you see where a woman is walking down into water and she takes her clothes off and she looks of African descent.
Mm.
That is rumored to be his sister, who later takes up the mantle of Black Panther when he gives it up to become king.
So it might actually, from what you're describing, it might actually take place in Wakanda at one point.
And because we know Cap's shield gets broken and his shield is made of what?
Fuck. It's vibranium.
And it's the only place to get that from is
Wakanda.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And they say, I saw one thing online saying like the one of the guys they show real quick is the main bad guy for Black Panther.
It's supposed to be Andy Serkis's character.
Yeah.
Who is the reason they go after him because he's the only one that can wield like basically make the shield. And he used to work for Tony Stark, and that's why Tony Stark's dad had the shield, the original prototype, and that's why Howard Stark had Cap's shield. Yeah,
interesting.
Other one too is a little farther of a stretch. Is if in the scene where Thor gets the lightning sucked out of him, it looked like, or whatever, or just fucking goes Super Saiyan and just unloads.
No, he hit the hammer into a socket.
Yeah. He's like, oh,
is
I can
this
make
what this
for.
Feels like? Oh,
this is awful. This
what
is
do
horrible.
I do this to everybody.
But there's another mystery female character that is in the background who has half her like basically an undershave, like half her head shaved, and that is one of two people. They think is one of two people. Either, which is this is the much harder one to actually think to think is actually her, is Loki's daughter, who. The reason it's much of a stretch, but kind of has a little bit of credence, is she is the ruler of the Asgardian underworld. And because Thanos has a tie to Thanos, because Thanos is doing what he's doing for his what he thinks is his true love, which is Lady Death. And where does Lady Death preside? The underworld.
Yeah.
So
it's
that one's a bit weird.
Sketchy, but maybe.
Yeah. That's almost reading a little bit.
The other one is another Asgardian.
Just another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rumor that I thought was interesting that came to light more in this trailer is because of this trailer made gave it more credence is the fact that Natalie Portman's character, spoilers here, dies in this movie.
And that would make the...
That was also a rumor going around.
That was a rumor before the first trailer happened.
Yeah.
Because there was a scene shown where she was really... Like, there was a behind-the-scenes photo taken where she was on set and she was badly, like, hurt, like, the makeup and stuff. But there was no shooting. They didn't see any shooting going on. So it was, like, she was just standing around talking with everybody. Where they just see Chris Hemsworth and then her, and she's, like, got blood and stuff on her. But the rumor was after the first trailer came out is... the reason there's, like, basically Thor's there is obviously he's back on Earth after Thor 2. The attack happens, the first attack from Ultron. She ends up getting killed, and then they find out Tony Stark's the one that released Ultron, basically created him, and Thor holds him accountable, and that's when he goes, "It's all your fault," and then basically, you know,
right. Picks
him up by his throat. That's, you know, because in this movie we're supposed to have more of a rift being built between the team and Tony Stark because of the events that happened in Civil War. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Real quick before we get into any other news, we are past an hour and I didn't curse.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I didn't. Go back and listen.
Well, we know Joe won't. Anyways, who cares? Just
drop the mic, drop the F-bomb. Boom, I'm out.
Anyways, so there's other stuff too. Arrow's been renewed for a fourth season. Shocker.
Nice.
Flash has been renewed for a second season. Shocker. There is going to be a second trickster showing up in episode 17 of The Flash, besides Mark Hamill. It's going to be like a passing the torch in a way.
Well,
so that's pretty
the
cool.
way I read it was Mark Hamill's like the original,
yeah.
And there's a copycat, yeah. Basically. So like that's why they go to Mark Hamill.
So that's pretty cool. But from earlier today, Mike saw that they announced two of the voice cast for the new animated Batman movie.
Which is weird. One of them's weird.
Well, one of them's weird, and the other one you wouldn't think be doing a voice cast of who he's doing. Or I guess you would think he's doing somebody else. But Kevin Conroy is going to be voicing a character in the Batman versus Robin animated movie.
Batman?
Not Batman.
So there's a character called Not Batman in it?
Yeah.
It's which everyone else.
Yep.
Everyone that's not Batman.
But Weird Al Yankovic will be voice casting the Dollmaker.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird when you're like, Weird Al's going to but the Dollmaker, you're like, okay, he can do the Dollmaker.
But further news on that,
yes.
Not voice casting, because they do list more of the voice cast, but it's not what actually made me look at it more. Is what this movie's actually based on.
Okay.
So the title Batman versus Robin is actually technically from the Grant Morrison books, which is led in from the Son of Batman, which is the last Batman animated movie they made. So you would think that it's that one.
Yeah.
But no. It's not.
It's not.
What is it?
Court of Owls. Yeah, you heard me say that right. Court of Owls. Let's rerun back to last week's episode when I wanted to make a Court of Owls.
And there you go.
Obviously, I wanted a live action and make it longer than
to be honest, it wasn't going to happen, but...
I know, but this is... it is... Basically, it says right here, upcoming animated film, Batman versus Robin, which is inspired by Batman the Court of Owls storyline from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Weird that they changed it to that title, yep. But... Okay.
And, I mean, it has Jason O'Mara, Sean Meyer, and David McCollum will return as their respective roles of Batman, Robin, and Alfred. So from the first one, the last one they did. Jeremy Sisto will be playing the voice of a Talon. And then there's some other ones, too. Gray Griffin is a character named Samantha. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't read all of them, so I don't know all the characters in it.
It's weird to me, but that title is less of a stretch because if you know the Court of Owls story, it's never really Batman versus Robin.
No.
In that at all. I mean, if anything, it would be Batman versus Nightwing, but that's like a smack and then that's pretty much it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you said Batman versus Robin, I was like, oh, yes, dude. It means, is Dick Grayson going to be fucking Batman, and they're gonna he's gonna team up with Damian, and they're gonna fuck shit up, and Joker's gonna be a hidden character. I won't spoil if you want to read that Grant Morrison story. But no, they're gonna take a completely different story, change the name up, and what sounds like the plots. Because they did change a lot in the Batman, the Son of Batman one. They changed, but not the premise of the story. The story was very similar to what it is. The location for the final battle was completely different. I mean, it never went to an underwater base.
It was still entertaining, though.
Oh, it was. Yeah, I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. Deathstroke was interesting. Old ass Deathstroke was pretty cool. But yeah, so I thought that was very interesting to be on there. Yeah, but the Dollmaker, I mean, it's weird. Like, I don't know, whatever. But I thought it was interesting. That's the storyline that they're going for with that title is that one.
But even though the title makes no sense, I'm excited to see the last act of that movie just when Batman goes crazy. Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
If they they could, but there's a lot build up and stuff to that too, and I wonder how deep they dive into the court and the actual Court of Owls though. Like, are they going to show the history and things like that?
There's a lot to it. I wonder how much they're going to include into it.
When's its release date?
I don't think it has one yet. I didn't see one on here. They don't list one on here.
What was the last one that just came out? Something, it was an Aquaman one. What's
Thorn of Atlantis. Yeah, it's a Justice League one. But yeah, it's basically, you know, around Aquaman.
There's enough comic books where they should pump out one of those like every 4 months. There should be one that comes out.
They should also do a better job of adapting the story over.
Well, aren't they like actually trying to do that? Like, not every 4 months, but like
they shoot for 2 a year.
Yeah, 2 a year.
Because last year was Dark Knight. No, last year, because they split it up, was the last half of Dark Knight and Son of Batman. Because we were shocked, because usually it's not... No, last year was not. Last year was Justice League War and Son of Batman. Yeah. But we were shocked, because Son of Batman kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, I mean, not nowhere. I mean, obviously knew the story, but came out of nowhere, because we didn't think they were going to go that far. Because you have to admit that Batman had the sexes with somebody, and they has a baby. So, interesting.
Which, if you ever listen to Paul Dini talk about anything, Batman's had sex with every female character in the Batman universe. So,
I'm sure he has.
It's Batman.
It's Batman.
Frank Miller believes he did, because he left that one broad done sexing up in the middle of the night to go rescue Robin and All-Star Batman and Robin, Boy Wonder.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I started to read the beginning of it yesterday when I received the books again. Because I've read it a bunch of times already. But that's
You going to talk about the other pseudo-rumor that's been announced but then denied and then announced again?
So, earlier today...
So by the time you hear this, you might have definitive answer on it. But as of right now, there still seems to be confusion about them.
Yes. So earlier today, Latino Review, which is a home to a lot of rumors that actually a lot of them come true as well.
They do miss, though.
They've missed a couple. This one is very similar to some of the other ones that we have talked about today and on another episode is... during a Sony hack, one of the emails that came up was the fact that Sony and Marvel actually sat down, Disney sat down and talked about bringing their Amazing Spider-Man, or the Amazing Spider-Man, not that theirs, but the Amazing Spider-Man, over into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Obviously, everyone said, well, that's not going to happen, ever. And then all of a sudden, these emails, stuff from an actual meeting came out, and they're like, holy shit, there was credence to that rumor that they were attempting to do that. Today, Latino Review has said that the deal has been struck, that Amazing Spider-Man will be featured in a Marvel Cinematic movie, and it will be the Avengers Infinity War Part 1.
Is where he makes his debut.
Which
was later struck down by Sony, but you have to take that with a grain of salt, because Sony can't announce anything until it's official. Yeah. So.
And we were talking about that earlier. It's like, like Marvel obviously is going to want to make the announcement with Sony.
Yeah.
Just because, hello.
And Marvel does a really good job of spreading out their announcements. And I think right now they have too much going on.
They're
to throw that announcement out.
Yeah, they're already you were right about saying that, because they're in the throes of promoting their two new movies for this year. And it won't be until they haven't started that just yet, which is weird to me because it is, you know, 3 months away.
Well, I was talking about Agent Carter.
Oh, Agent Carter. But
Daredevil's coming.
But
hot on her heels.
I would expect to hear this at Comic-Con this year, for sure, if it does happen. Or slightly after that.
Because that's the definition of a Hall H announcement.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you bring out the cat, like, you bring out a bunch of the cast members, you know, for whatever, you know, bring them all out. You know, everybody's going to be in the upcoming movies, especially next year, Captain America, because, again, that's next year. So you would see more of that, because they haven't announced the full cast for Civil War yet, just the primary cast. So there's a lot more people, obviously, that are going to be in it. There's still rumors of a Hawkeye movie, still rumors of a Black Widow movie, which is a little less likely to happen now that that Scarlett Johansson signed on for Ghost in the Shell live action movie, but could still happen because there's still time, because there's that gap where she's not as
this is fault. Key. You want to pay attention to what Donald Glover is doing in the next couple months.
No, because the deal right now is for the Amazing Spider-Man.
It won't be. It won't be.
So you don't think it's going to be Andrew Garfield?
No, it won't be.
Yeah, Sony's kind of abandoned him as Spider-Man because they believe it's his fault that the movies did as bad as it did.
Horseshit, because he was
the first
actually
one was
really good.
Amazing.
Spider-Man is what I'm talking about. Yeah. But the only thing,
get it?
The only thing I say, don't look at him for it, is because, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to see him as Spider-Man. Because
to date, he was one of the best Spider-Man that there.
Oh no, we're talking about Donald Glover.
Oh, Donald Glover. Yeah. No, yeah.
Well, I would love to see him as Spider-Man.
That. Yeah.
Because of Marvel's tendency to find more unknown people for some of them, I could see it not happening that way.
But but look at the people they cast, though. Like, how many unknowns have they really cast?
A whole lot, really.
And they're
like, of their main characters, none.
And then if you want to go that route, Donald Glover's not a household name. Like, we all know who he is.
Well, yeah.
But my question is, do they go Ultimate Verse, or are they doing classic?
Well, everything's kind of geared towards more of the
Ultimates.
But, I mean, I'm just saying, he wants to do it. He could do it, and he would be great.
Good at it.
Yeah, I just don't see it actually happening that way.
I'm calling that shot right now. If the Marvel thing's true and they're getting Spider-Man,
you almost pointed to Spider-Man too.
Donald Glover,
I did.
Is Spider-Man. I'll ask him on Twitter tomorrow.
Hey, Donald Glover.
Well, I don't think he's gonna.
Maybe he's not gonna answer.
Are you Spider-Man yet?
Yeah.
He'll be like, yeah, I am in the animated show. You should pay attention to my tweets, asshole.
Yeah.
I meant like in the Marvel movies. You Spider-Man yet?
Anyway, I'm calling it. That's who they're going to get.
They're not, but yes. I
come back next year, folks, and when he's Spider-Man, you heard it here first.
Not next
who
year.
Would you like to see in it, Cody?
He wants, for, he wants to see
for
Donald Glover.
Ultimate Verse, for if they do like regular.
Well, Donald Glover... Not that it has to be. Miles Morales is the one that is half black.
Mm-hmm.
So if they went to that character, yes, that'd be awesome to see Donald Glover. Even
he's
going
to be Peter Parker. He's going to be a black Peter Parker.
I'm not really sure where that needed to come from, but.
Well, because he wants him to be Peter Parker, but he wants him to be Donald Glover, so which means he'd be black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm just saying it. I don't think they have the balls to do a non-Peter Parker Spider-Man. That would be weird.
That would be weird. Yeah, they just show Spider-Man.
That'd be weirder than making Peter Parker black.
They would have to show him at one point.
Well, no, because if they made Miles Morales, they'd have to give you like why
and
is Peter Parker not Spider-Man?
Moviegoers aren't. They won't get it. They'll be like, what?
I just can't
guarantee
wait.
90% of the people who've watched the movies have no idea there's other Spider-Man out there.
No, I was thinking that you were saying that they wouldn't show him at all, like. He's just in Spider-Man costume the whole time.
Oh, no.
That's what I was saying. That would be weird, but I would think that they would have to show him at some
time. Sorry, who else would you?
Yeah.
I judge you. I don't know. I would want someone. I would like someone like Andrew Garfield's build, because I think that's, again, they went after more of the Ultimate Universe Spider-Man, where he was still in high school, and he's not like, Tobey Maguire is not like buff by any means,
but he's
was
a little bigger.
He was a little bigger than Andrew Garfield.
It's all slender, more
like gangly. Like, so when he takes the crouches like a spider, he looks all goofy looking like that. But what I was gonna say is, Donald Glover and even Andrew Garfield would be a weird, like, to me, not that I don't want them. I'm trying to think in my head, looking at him, one of those two, and then looking the rest of the Avengers, it's like, goddamn, these dudes are huge.
Well, that's what you're going to want.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, if you look at it, it's like, that's funny to see that, but.
Because he'll be smaller than Tony Stark, which.
He'll be smaller than Hawkeye, because Hawkeye right now, technically, other than Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow, Hawkeye is the smallest of the group.
But that still, to me, that would still fit in with, like, even in the comics, Spider-Man was not, like, the biggest.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I was just saying it's funny to think about what he would look like on screen with him.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want him to be that way. I'm saying.
But just even putting, like, Andrew Garfield next to Chris Hemsworth.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's like,
and you're like, oh, look at all the, like, yeah, you're right. And it's even, like, even Scarlett Johansson, who's just, like, fucking toned as shit. And then you're like, Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield's like, ha ha. Pew. You know, like, that sort of thing.
But it would play really well into it. Yeah. Because he'd just be making jokes the whole entire time.
That's so,
the Spider-Man we need.
Exactly.
Not the one we deserve.
Yeah.
The one we need. But so back to what we're saying. So if they do announce anything, it'll be at Comic-Con this year.
For sure.
If they announce it. Because they officially announced the directors and the writers. The writers will be Joss Whedon with the Caruso brothers.
And the Coen brothers.
Not the Coen brothers.
What a fucked up movie that would be.
Right?
And it was
just people going around with the fucking stake killer.
No, the fucking the cattle prod thing.
It wasn't a cattle prod. It was that thing that shot the piston into the skull.
Yeah, it was a cattle thing.
Just wasn't a cattle prod. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it was a prod and it was on cattle. But
you're doing some different prod in there.
Yeah.
At higher speeds.
Yep, liquefying brains. What's the most you've ever waged on a flip of a coin? Creepy motherfucker. I was thinking, though, like, they could do the Coen brothers because they could just take the Infinity War, could happen in Fargo.
Oh, God.
They just could throw people in a wood chipper, you know?
God. Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. Look at this guy from space.
He's all purple.
Oh, no. Don't you know? He's so big.
What's this about?
Throne, you see? I see him flying there. I went to Strange Brew all of a sudden. So if they do announce it, I would almost guarantee it's going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this year. They will have an actor, because at this point they would need to, because the rest of the cast is already coming up. But this is my thought for this year's Hall H. We already know what movies are coming out, we will get cast. Yeah. So we already know who Doctor Strange is, so he'll be there in person, as long as he's not away filming, which I think at this point they'll probably have him there just because.
Well, yeah.
You will find out who is playing Carol Danvers / Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel, if that's actually who they make it, which obviously at this point they should. You will find out more about the Inhumans, who's going to be cast in the Inhumans. You're going to find out casting for the villain and or female lead for Black Panther, next to Chad Boseman, obviously, because we already know who he is. You will find out if Spider-Man does join the cast, who and how he will show up will be announced then, and you will get more announcements on the Netflix shows, because they already have tentatively given Daredevil a second season. Mm-hmm. And they already said they're planning for 2 seasons for each show as of right now. And if the other rumors are true, we'll probably hear more about Punisher. So, because as of June of this year, I do believe Marvel gets Punisher back.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Now I want to see a director's cut of Captain America.
Yeah. Wait, the Cruz is like, we can finally say it's him! It's in one scene, like you just have like a truck driven by Frank Castle helped out, and then running the movie, you're like, he said his name.
Captain America: Winter Soldier, director's cut.
With literally just 15 seconds of new footage.
It's not even 15 seconds. It's literally with 2 seconds of new footage.
No, the 15 and all, seconds all the part of it is you see him, like you see like Punisher in the window. That's it. Like,
oh,
no,
they go back and refilm it.
They just filmed it.
They had an actor playing that role in there.
You just need to see the skull. You didn't even need to see the face. You just need to see the skull. Stop hitting me.
Nathan Edmonton Punisher and have the skull mask that he has now, where you don't even see his face because, like, obviously he goes in there. If you haven't read any of Nathan Edmonton's new run on Punisher, he's in California. It's fan-fucking-tastic. Violence is shit. Mm-hmm. It is super violent. Not that Punisher wasn't before, but, like, it's, like, Punisher max level of violence most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's cool because he has donned a ski mask, essentially, that has a skull on it. Oh, it's dope. It's awesome. He shoots people point blank in their faces with pistols.
Yeah,
which is fantastic. Goes up being not silence either. Full on pistol. It's fantastic. So yeah, so that's interesting.
Yep.
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. That's it. We'll actually end the show today, unlike the last couple, where we just kinda abruptly do it. So
yeah.
Thanks for listening. Comes Naturally We Are.
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. And that's not our entering exit music.
I think that was E.T. You remember John Tesh?